services lately, just pop up, pop off, and pop back down. That's what a testimony is. Go ahead, sister. Amen. I do, you too. Thank you. Anybody else? Right quick. See how easy it is?
I want to say something, brother. Yeah. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me, and He's been really good to me in the last few years.
Man.
And I'm unworthy, like everybody else in here, but I just want to thank Him and give Him praise because He's been so good to me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I tell you, you want your kids to go be raised up serving God. You know, I'm all acting happy today and everything, but really I'm very, very mad and upset because all my girls are gone. They're over in Nashville at a country music concert. No, they're not. They are in Nashville. Carrie sent us pictures of the church they went to this morning. I don't know, and she said it was pretty good. I told her, I said, you better go to church. You ought to go to church when you're on vacation. Go to church. And, you know, Dax rides that motorcycle all the time, and that's the big Loretta Lynn race, and it's going to be on TV or something this week. And you know what? That don't impress me a bit. I want the Lord to get a hold of him and call him to preach. I mean that. I want the Lord to call him to preach. And so he can ride while he's little, but then on and be a preacher. There was like 1,500 kids tried out, and only 30 could get in it from the whole, all the United States. And he's like in the top few of the 30. So if he don't break his neck, he might win some. But I would 10 times him get up here and wave a King James Bible and do what she did and just brag on the Lord. And I mean that. Yes, I mean that. And I know I can't call him to preach, but I hope the Lord does. And but let's pray for them while they're traveling and out there this week. There's a lot of Christian activities and a lot of Christian things they do with them. It's not really a bad thing. I don't like it when they're gone every summer like this. But let's pray for them and others that have gone on vacation or traveling. It ain't right. But let's pray the Lord get a hold of their hearts and get them back in where they're supposed to be. She said to him, well, Daddy, we're there all the time when you ain't. And I said, I'm gone one Sunday a year. You hush. She said, you're gone all them Wednesday nights. I said, I'm gone one Sunday a year. Hush. Anyway, let's pray for those that are traveling and sick and not able to be here tonight. Okay? All right, girl.
Well, I'm glad we get some help tonight. You can get some help from the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Thank the Lord. Glory to God. Help me. I've got something to praise God for. Hallelujah. Help me.
Or something just to do. I mean, we call it here because we're bored, brother. We're called it something real here tonight. Amen. You know why? Go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. Hey, amen. Amen. Yeah. On the Lord right quick. He deserves it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know what? This is good for kids to grow up seeing this. It's dying out, brother. It's dying out. You don't go to churches anymore and find old time religion. You find this contemporary, modernistic, fleshly, effeminate, sort of weird kind of spirit. Something wrong. That kind of spirit. The preaching and the singing and everything ought to all be in the same spirit. It ought not to just change drastically when the preacher... Heard Ed McAbee preaching on the radio yesterday. 82 years old. He's not as strong physically, but he preached just like he did back when I first heard him when I was 18. I met Brother Ed when I'd been saved about a week. But he'd come over to Nebo Baptist Church. Man, he preached. Boy, his finger looked like it was that long. He come down in it, and it felt like everything he sang, boom, boom, like darts in my heart. And I said, I don't know who that guy is. But I mean, God used him, heard him preach yesterday. Same thing. Well, tonight, here's what I want to do. I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. I'm just going to give you a little thought tonight. Arguing with God. Arguing with God. It's a big mistake to argue with God. Let's show you a man in the Bible who argued with God. Turn to Exodus chapter 3 tonight. And you know this story. You know who this man is. His name was Moses, one of the greatest men in the Bible. And the Bible said when God called Moses to preach, he argued with him, as most men do. And so tonight, we'll look here at some scripture verses here in the Word of God, here in Exodus chapter 3 and also 4. If you'll let me, I'm just going to read them all to you and go back and just comment. I don't have a whole lot to say to you tonight. But God called Moses to preach. And God called Moses to preach at the burning bush. And you know what? The call to the ministry is the greatest call on this earth. I am honored tonight to be in the ministry. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're called a pastor. You're not called a pastor. You're called by a church to pastor. The Lord gives you a call to the ministry. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're called to sing. People say, I have a calling. There's a call to the ministry. Now, God gives you gifts to do different things, and this, that, and the other. But if you want to get scriptural about it, there's a call to the ministry. And then a church appoints a man to be their pastor, as deacons and so forth and so on. Tonight, I want to show you a man who was called to the ministry. Somebody said one time, some were called, some were sent, some just packed up and went. And I've met a lot of them like that. Here in Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses began to make excuses. Argument number one. Look at verse 11. God wanted him to go preach to his people. And look what Moses said. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Argument one, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Who am I, Lord? You know what? That's a good attitude to have. That's the best attitude to have. I've heard preachers say, boy, I tell you, the Lord's calling me to preach, but I'm just a nobody. Perfect. Great. You're a great candidate. These little smart alecks that know it all and ain't never done nothing wrong, you know, live perfect life in front of everybody. There's the ones God can never use. The man God can use will say, who am I, Lord? I ain't nothing. I possess no special qualities or gifts or talent. Did you know God, you know what God won't do? God don't call many mighty, many noble. God don't even call a whole lot of big famous people to preach. It's usually a nobody, usually, so that he gets the glory. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said, God won't call a good looking man to preach. I heard him say that. Hell, old man of God, he said, God won't do it. God calls ugly men to preach. I said, well, I guess that gets all of us in one swoop. Now, the Bible don't say it, but what he was saying was, God calls people so he gets the glory. It's not their talents, not their ability. He can use their talent and ability, but God calls the unqualified to do his work. So Moses' argument number one is, I'm a nobody. I am a nobody. Keep your finger there. We're going to do a lot of reading here in the next couple of minutes. And then I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. Look at verse 12. And he said, certainly. Look what the Lord said. I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So the Lord, Moses said, Lord, who am I? And the Lord said this. It really don't matter who you are. It's who I am. Amen? Amen? God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And brother, I say again, God don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And it really don't matter who we are. It's who he is. It don't matter. You say, boy, I got a hold of him. The question is, does he got a hold of you? Does the Lord got a hold of you? If a hammer gets a hold of me, I ain't going to tell him what'll happen. But if I get a hold of a hammer, I can get something done. So if God gets a hold of you, he can get something done. Argument number one, I'm a nobody. God said, don't worry about it. I'll be with you. Now stay with me during this introduction.
All right, argument two. Look at verse number 13. Argument two. I don't know what to say. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses said, Lord, I ain't nothing. Lord said, Don't worry about it. I got that took care of. He said, Lord, I can't preach. I've never been to Bible college. I don't know what to say. The Lord said, I'm going to tell you what to say. Next verse. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Capital. Man, I love that. That's almost too holy to speak by human lips. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. They say, What's your credentials? I am sent me. Hey, you mean he was? No, I mean he am. You say, Well, you mean he will be? No, I mean he am. He am now, he am yesterday, and he'll be am tomorrow. He ain't past, present, future. He always am, brother. He is always in the present tense. With God, there is no past. There is no future. He just always is. I am that I am. So he took away his second argument. Moses' third argument. Chapter 4 and verse 1. These people won't believe me. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. Moses answered and said, But, behold, they won't believe me. And hearken to my voice. Here he goes again. He said, The Lord said, You going to preach? I can't. Yeah, you can. I'm with you. What am I going to say? Tell them I am sent you. They won't believe. And the Lord said, Take that, what's that in your hand? Look at the next verse. God took away that excuse. You know God's called you when He starts taking away them excuses like that. He said, Lord, He said, What is that in your hand? And He said, A rod. And God said, You're going to take that rod and I'm going to deliver the people out of Egypt by the means or the miracle of that rod. So every excuse Moses has, God's got an answer for it. Now let's look at argument number four. Argument number four. He said, First, He said, I'm a nobody. God said, Don't worry about it, I'm somebody. He said, Second, I don't know what to say. God said, Don't worry about it, I got plenty for you to say. He said, Third, these people won't believe me. This is why you don't witness. This is why some of you don't witness. You say, I'm nobody. I'm not worthy to witness. I don't know what to say. People won't believe me. You don't have an excuse. God's took away every one of your excuses. Now I tell you what, brother, I witness everywhere I go. Everywhere. Anybody knows me, if you go somewhere with me, you're going to see me tell people Jesus loves them. If that embarrasses you, don't take me out to eat. And there's no danger of that from 99% of you. That's for sure. Listen, don't take me out to eat if you don't want me to witness the waitress, because I'm going to. I was running another day in Florida, and I was running down the road like this, and I was running 2 miles. Because it's flat ground, you're cheating. And I was running like that, you know. I was going around them blocks. And I run 2.2 miles. Going like this. And I seen people out working in the garden. Seen people out. And I've seen these people on the porch. And I thought, I'll go witness to them. And I thought, no, stop. What do you say, Danny? If you stop for something, you'll stop for anything. And I said, look, they're going to hell. I can run another time. So I pulled in the driveway. And then people said, You're going to have a heat stroke. And I started to say, It's colder than hell outside. It is, ain't it? Ain't it colder than hell out there? I'm not cussing. Don't take it that way. Don't be like that. It's a lot cooler out there. And brother, I'm telling you, it's 99 in the shade down there in Florida. And brother, I said, there's a place a lot hotter than this. I said, the Lord loves you. Some old guy sitting there had a beard down there. Looked like he was on one of them dynasty guys. He really did look just like him. An old nasty trailer there, boy. And it was them old girl sitting there out there on a bucket. On a bucket. And I said, Did you know the Lord loves y'all? And I said, Did you know the Lord? You know what? God will give you something to say. If you ain't so backslid, you won't say it. You know how to say God loves you? Can you say that? You know how to say Jesus loves you? Can quit some of you don't ever witness? And it ain't because you don't know what to say. God give you a whole Bible there. They 66 books or something to say. Lord, have mercy, brother. Open your mouth and tell somebody that. You say, Well, I don't want to offend them. Every excuse you've got, God's got an answer for it. And I told them the Lord loved them. And then there's these two guys on a carport. I turn, run in their driveway. You say, aren't you afraid they'd shoot you?
That thought didn't cross my mind. It really did. I said, what if they shoot me? They was about as far as near the back door, and I was running right to them, and I stopped before I got there and said, how y'all doing? And they said, fine. And I said, the Lord loves you. One guy just kept looking at his phone like that. He wouldn't even look at me. Another said, I know it. I know it. I know it. And I seen an old man out of the mailbox getting his mail. And I just started, and I didn't stop and witness to him. And I felt terrible. And I thought, you know what? I'll get him on the way back, Lord. And I come back, and he was gone. I asked Brother Wayne about him. I said, man, I need to go see that old guy. But everybody got fences around their yard. Everybody got fences around the yard. I don't know why. Keep something in or something out. But you ought to try to witness. Moses said, Lord, I don't know what to say. Quit using that for an excuse and open your mouth for Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a lady, I don't advise you to go running up to men. The best way you can witness to a man is when he comes towards you through like this right here. That's the best way you can witness. Not smile and flirt. But I'm going to tell you, but if you're a man here tonight, you ought to be a witness, and the witness for the glory of God, and be a blessing, and be a help to people, and be a witness. That's what Moses said. He said, Lord, I don't know what to say. And the Lord said, I'll give you something to say. But look at his next excuse. He said, argument number 4, look at chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Bible said here, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord. He said, I am not eloquent. I am not eloquent. And you know what? Moses couldn't even talk plain. And I'm not making fun of nobody. But Moses, he said, Lord, I think so. I can't be a preacher. And the Lord said, yes, you can. He said, I can't be a preacher. And I'm not making fun of nobody. He said, I'm not eloquent. And the Lord told him, he took that excuse away too. Look at chapter 4. Look at it. Chapter 4 there. And the Bible said, God said, I made you mouth, boy. He said, I made you mouth. Look at 10, 11, and 12. And he said, I made your mouth. He said, you are a preacher. He said, I'm not a preacher. He said, you are a preacher. He said, I ain't had no training. The Lord said, you don't need except what I give you. And then finally, argument number 5 is verse 13 and 14. He said, can't you get somebody else to do this? And if you're not careful, that's the argument you'll make with God. You'll say, God, can't you get somebody else? I've even had people tell me, well, if I don't witness to them, somebody else will. I'm sure I'm glad to the Lord Hudson Taylor didn't feel like that. I'm glad David Livingston didn't believe like some people do, who went to Africa and gave his life. I'm glad, brother, some man of God that started Nebo Baptist Church and prayed and fasted and got me saved didn't believe like you. I'm telling you, brother, we have a responsibility to witness and put the Word of God out. You say, what if they get mad? Let them get mad. Pharaoh did, but God took care of Moses. Pharaoh drowned. Moses went in the promised land. Amen. Now, I will talk about this for a little bit tonight. Arguing with God. You say, I'm not a preacher. Well, I ain't much one either. Amen. Andy, give me, let me just show you something tonight. I'm not going to read you these, but he hands me these all the time. I have no idea who puts all that stuff on me on the internet. No idea. Somebody told me, they said, we watch you on this and we watch you on that. They brought this boy to me in Florida and they said, he watches everything you put up. He said, he wants to shake your hand. He's about 15 or 16. They said, watch this. Listen to this right here. This is from some girl named Precious. I have no idea in the world who that is. Dear Pastor Danny, it took me an hour to find the page to get in contact with you, but I found it. I'm 15 years old and have a lot of questions about God. I go to a well nice church, but they just don't break it down like you do. That's pretty good language, ain't it? They don't break it down. That's what I'm doing here tonight. I hope that maybe one of these days you can call me. I don't even know where this is. 240 Eric, I don't even know what state that's in. And you can help me figure out a little bit more. Love, Precious. Listen to this one right here. This is from some woman, Brooke, somebody or another. I should have said that. I'm a 20-year-old woman, meth addict, from another county right down here. I am also a mother, a Pentecostal preacher's daughter, an ex-wife, and lost. That woman's in a mess. She said, and she's watching now. I don't mean to embarrass her, but I'm telling you, she said, I recently started trying to speak with God recently. She said, I'm a meth addict. I'm a mother. My daddy's a Pentecostal preacher, and I'm lost, and I'm divorced. 24 years old. Patty, they wasn't the only one in Egypt's bondage. I was flipping through videos on YouTube about meth when I come across the curse of crystal meth that I did to youth rally a couple of years ago. I want to tell you that your preaching, I believe his sermon was just for me. And that I want to thank him for, or for me, I want to thank him for it. Putting so much effort into it so that my brain on meth could understand it. I live in certain county, not far from here, now, and work down this way. I'm going to try to be at church Sunday. She might have been here this morning. I have no idea. And I have many obstacles that arise up so I can come to Jesus. I don't know if that woman is here or not this morning. She might be here tonight. If she is, I don't embarrass her. I'm just saying, listen, Moses said, God, I can't go preach to people. He said, you can too. I'll give you the word. You know, I've been told for years, you can't preach. You can't preach. You can't preach. You're absolutely right. I can't. But I've got somebody. God said, I'll do it for you. He said, I made your mouth. I can give you the words to say. I believe that. You know, sometimes when I'm preaching, honest to goodness, it feels like he just grabs me. I'm telling you, I ain't nothing special, but I give myself to him. I like what John Wesley said. They said, how do you get so many people to come and listen to you preach? He said, I set myself on fire and people come watch me burn. And that's what you got to do. You pay a price. You fast. You pray. Well, I've been up all day. I slept about 4 hours last night, since night before last. I was dying to go to sleep this evening. Every time I'd start to pray, I'd put my head and go like that right there. I think I was slobbering on the airplane yesterday. My head fell off like that right there. And I turned around, this woman looking at me. No, I didn't. She was looking at me. I want to make a face at her. You know what, brother? I feel like I'm on something right now. I don't know what that feels like. But I feel good in my soul. You know why? He said, if you'll go and open your mouth, I'll be with you. This letter here says, Lord, I don't know where this is from. I want to thank you for your preaching. I grew up and went to camp and heard you preach at a church in Ohio. I know you all talk funny, whatever, but it made me listen harder. A little Yankee boy said, you talk funny, it made me want to listen. That's why I still talk like I do. I can quit saying ain't if I want to, but ain't right and you ain't supposed to say it. But anyway, he said, I fell away from church, living in sin, and become a drunk. I met my wife in a bar. We both have woke up due to the great foundations our parents installed in us as children. Remember that, parents. To make a story short, I've woke up. I watch Brother Danny every day, literally. My son loves God and actually got into trouble trying to talk another child about the Lord. The principal told him loving God was okay, and telling people to love God was a better way than forcing them to. Anyhow, I want to thank you for your preaching, and Brother Danny looks the same as he did 20 years ago. LOL. That's L-O-L. That's what you put on your text. LOL. I'm at a Pentecostal church that preaches about hell and salvation. It lacks the fire. Brother Danny has, and I thank God for the YouTube because of his sermons. It's literally Danny Castle time before I sleep and before I go to work. That sounds a little weird. I go to work. God bless you and your church. Now, if you're listening, brother, nothing personal. We're just friends. But they need to know the importance you are to people around the world. On a side note, listen to this. My son, the 8-year-old, points out all the Illuminati signs now. 8-year-olds going to school telling everybody they're an Illuminati. My 5 and 2-year-olds are being castled, whatever that is. Next, by the Word of God. I can't convey how much your sermons mean to me. Thanks again. God made you awesome. And I'll tell you, brother, you know what God done to Moses? God said, Moses, He said, you ain't nothing. You can't do nothing. But I'm going to take you, and you're the man that I want to lead my people out. God's got you where you work. God's got y'all in them schools. He's got you right where He wants you to be a blessing to somebody. That's right. Quit arguing with Him. Come and go visit with us Saturday morning. Come on. Amen. You want to be spiritual? Get out and do something for the Lord. Get on to Hickory and help Brother Mike. Get over to Lenore and help Miss Vicky. Come here and help these guys here. And John and all these guys. Do something for God. Plant your own community. Do it. Deal with it. Quit arguing with the Lord like that. You say, well, preacher, I can't do nothing. I'm not very smart. Well, you don't have to be very smart. I heard about a woman the other day. It's a true story. Called her husband. He answered the phone. She said, honey, I'll be home. I'm at the grocery store and I have lost my cell phone. She said, I can't find it nowhere. And he said, what are you talking to me on? She said, don't you dare tell nobody this. You're that smart, ain't you? How many of you ever been looking for your glasses and they're on your head? See? God uses dumb people. Amen? You ought to thank God that you don't have to be a genius before God can use you. Tell you a story. There's a man in Florida, and he had this guy in his church that was, let's just say, not completely level. That's a nice way of saying it. Challenged a little bit. And he was like off-center just a tad, liked a few French fries, having a happy meal. And there's always people like that in the church. We got them around here, amen? I attract crazy people. You know that, don't you? I'm like one of them light bulbs right there. If there's a nut in town, they're going to come wherever I'm at preaching. I had people say that. I said, man, why do these crazy people hang around you? I said, because crazy people recognize genius. They do. They really do. And I was just messing with them, just kidding them. And they said, this guy was about half crazy in this church. And there's a man running a hardware store downtown. And he said, everybody tried to witness that man. The pastor went down there, he wouldn't listen. Deacons went down there, he wouldn't listen. They sent all the great soul winners down there. That man wouldn't listen to run a hardware store. And that man wouldn't even pay him no attention. Well, one day this guy, who was a little off, went to the store. He just come walking in there like that, walked right up that man, said, hey! That man said, yes, sir, can I help you? He said, you won't go to heaven? And that man said, no. And that guy said, well, go on to hell then. Turned around and walked out. That's exactly what he did. Three days went by. The pastor's phone rung. True, pastor's phone rung. It was that man that run that hardware store. He got on and he said, pastor, he said, one of your parishioners was by here the other day and told me to go to hell. He said, it upset me. And that guy got a conviction and got saved. Amen. You know why? God used that old boy. You know what? Sometimes your education's in the way. Sometimes your talent's in the way. Sometimes your brain's in the way. Just let God have your mouth. Just be willing. Be willing to be silly for the Lord. Be willing. You ever notice how crazy what I'm doing right now? You know the Bible said the foolishness of preaching. Have you ever thought about this? If you didn't know what we was doing tonight, and you just have never seen nothing like this, here's hundreds of people sitting in here, and somebody up here screaming and spitting. What are you thinking? Them people are... It's the foolishness of preaching. And you know what some of y'all's problem is? You're too proud. You're worried about your image. You're worried about, I don't know. You think too much of yourself, man. You ain't nothing. I'm not nothing. Moses said, God, I'm nobody. He said, you're the man I'm looking for. Get you a handful of tracks out here tonight. Go out of here and do something for God. You say, I'm not smart enough. Okay. A couple months ago, a man was checking out at a local food line. He had a few items, and the lady behind him You know how when you got this belt sliding down through here like this, and you got one of these little sticks that you stick a divider in there so you can know their stuff from your stuff? Hadn't you ever been tempted to put one of your things, just put it over there so that person will have to pay for it? Am I the only one that ever thought that? That's a West Virginia coming out in there right there. I've been in a store before and I thought, I'll just put my stuff over there and they'll all go in with their stuff. But you put a little divider in there. He said this girl, some dumb blonde, she might not have been blonde, but he said she checked out his stuff and the story went, he said after the girl had scanned all his items, you know, she picked up that divider and would look for the barcode all over it. The nut thought it was something he was buying so she could scan it. Not finding the barcode, she said, do you know how much this was? And the guy said, I've changed my mind. I don't think I'm going to buy that today. She said, okay, and put it down and charge him the rest. And he went on, she never even knew the difference. There's the young generation of girls we have to deal with. Surely you're that smart. Recently, a man saw a distraught young lady weeping beside her car. You need some help? She replied, I knew it. I knew I should have replaced the battery to this remote door unlock. She couldn't, her remote thing wouldn't open the door. She said, I knew it. The battery's dead. And I can't get it open. Now I can't get into my car. Do you think they, pointing to a distant convenience store, would have a battery to fit this? The guy says, I don't know. Do you have an alarm too? She said, and handed it to me. The key's with me. He said, I took the key and stuck it in the door and opened it. And he said, here, get in and drive home. The keys was on there, man. And she was doing like this, trying to get the door open. Now, you think that's so? We got people that are really that way. And if they can drive a car, you can knock on somebody's door and say, come to church. Amen. The man told her, he said, why don't you just drive your car over there? That's a long way, that store. Well, the truth is tonight, none of us have an excuse. None of us. Are you arguing with God? Job was full of pride. Jacob was a cheater. Solomon was full of wickedness. Rahab was a prostitute. Noah got drunk. Sarah laughed at what God said. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Paul had people put in jail as Christians. You're in the same company as these people are in the Bible. You're just arguing with the Lord about all these wonderful reasons why you don't witness and you don't tell nobody about Jesus. And I'll guarantee you, these people sitting in here tonight, you haven't witnessed to nobody in weeks, maybe months, maybe even longer. And that's your problem. That's how come you ain't got no joy. That's how come you can't enjoy the Lord. I promise you, go to McDonald's tonight and just walk up that girl in there and say, Jesus loves you. Man, I do them. You know them people running all these convenience stores now? I do it to them all the time. I did it to a boy. I guess it was a Muslim. I said, you know Jesus loves you? He said, huh? I said, Jesus loves you. He said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, Jesus. Well, I was trying to do sign language. I said, love you. He said, yeah, we all the same God, the same God. I said, no, it ain't the same God. It ain't the same God. Jesus and Allah. I tell you, God, listen, people, them people's going to hell. They're going to burn forever and ever and ever. We might not win them, but I don't want their blood on my hands. You can call me a fanatic, call me pushy, you can call me whatever you want to. You'll stand there after judgment day with the blood dripping off your hands of your neighbors and friends if you want with it. If you're not able to get out, if you have to work, you got a phone book, you got a job, you run into somebody, you got a neighbor, you go to the store, you get gas, you get groceries, don't argue with God.
Moses said, Lord, I can't do it.
Lord took away every excuse he had. Every one.
Get you some cards. Some thinking of you cards, ladies. Since I told y'all not to go out and, you know, you don't have to go out to drug dealers and witness to them. I don't think it's a woman's place to do that. If a woman speaks to a man, he thinks she's flirting. So, it's harder for you, lady. But get you some get well cards, thinking of you cards, and go to a rest home and just go door to door to door. Do it. And you, by the time you leave there, you'll be about to shout. Amen. Now, you know what y'all's problem is? You'll sit there and say, boy, he's right. And you'll go right out of here this week and not do one blessed thing I said. And not 90% of you. You know what your problem is? You're a hearer of the word and not a doer. Let's do it. Lord's blessed our church like crazy, man. Hey, it's on fire. And people getting saved. God's moving. Let's do it. We got problems, but Lord in mercy, have you been a lot of places lately? We're in good shape. God's been good to us. Let's don't argue with Him. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Now tonight, we're going to...